Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of
Doomed Prophecy.
My name is Jaden, and I'm here with Brett.
I am here.
Yeah.
We're going back to basics.
We're going back to basics. I mean, that's kind of what we've done every episode so far, but, you know, there it is.
That's true, actually.
Yeah. So, a few pieces of news. By the time you listen to this, unless you're a patron, you're going to probably have already seen a bunch of stuff about Malekith. He's officially out and people are playing with him. If you've got a Malekith and you don't want to have to figure out how to transport him, I wrote a very in-depth magnetization guide that you can find on our website, which is lineofsightwargaming.com. It's under the hobby section at the top under the menus. It's not a well-designed model for magnetizing at all. So...
Is it a well-designed model otherwise?
Yes, it's a fantastically designed model otherwise. Cool. I cannot believe that Malekith's connection points of 2 feet and a hand to the cat line up perfectly with his arm, shoulder, and, you know, pelvis. And they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really cool. And I was concerned because Omnus had some serious problems with it, but I just sort of dry fit everything first and then, like... used plastic glue and during the 30 seconds of work time was able to just squeeze everything into the right spots with pretty much no stress or problems at all. And yeah, it was really good.
Awesome. Yeah. And then plastic glue means they're stuck there forever.
Forever. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm very, very impressed with the model. It's super duper cool. And I may write a tutorial on how to paint him. I haven't decided yet. It adds a good chunk of time to the painting process to take all the pictures you need. We'll see.
My local just finished his and he did a really good job on the fur effects. It looks really great.
Nice. Yeah, that's going to be the hard part is like build up those volumes, make the textures look nice, put everything in a believable pattern because cat fur goes in a certain direction. Make the stripes look like they're integrated into the fur and not just placed on top of it.
Right, like I would do.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there. So he's out. Other news, the Human Torch, the original one, has a sweet tactics card that basically gives everything a bunch of, that with energy attacks, a bunch of extra dice on their attacks for a turn, right?
Yeah, and it's a really cool way to subtly change list building.
Right? Yes.
Because a lot of the, well, except for Iron Man, a lot of the standard shield characters don't have energy attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And... also, it's just hilarious with Black Widow turns him into a real attacker. I think that's very funny.
Yeah, core box, right? The 2-threat one?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are also excited about, you know, I think, so 3 costs, so Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., her spender becomes 9 dice from that. Cause
how many power does that cost?
I think 3.
Okay.
And it, because it gets more dice for having Incinerate on it. And it has more, and then it gets the 2 dice from the card.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So that's funny.
Very nice.
Important note, even if you give the Montesi books to the grunts, they do not benefit from it because the grunts are not on the affiliation list.
That's
only
really funny.
Huh.
Interesting. Cool. That's fun. Speaking of weird rules, there is an entire debate going on about how Malekith works as far as like placement on the table goes, because the rules aren't designed to handle a model that can't fit where its base fits, turns out.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's some questions.
It's Glopkiss all over again.
Oh, kinda, yeah. Like, yeah, there's nothing in the rules to talk about, like... volume of the thing, because they all just assume that they fit in the base, and Malekith is really the first one that doesn't.
Oh, you're talking about like the physical overhang.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I thought you were talking about like the base couldn't fit where you wanted it to.
No, like the base, like the base is a 65 mil base. It can go wherever Hulk and them can go, but there's a lot of places where a 65 mil base fits and Malekith doesn't, because they're the tournament guidelines, as I understand it, are you should place terrain at least range, like range two is as close as you should put it, right?
Yeah.
Malekith is bigger than range two in every dimension. I checked. Oh, I was so you curious. Can't
even like turn him.
No, you can't. So if you're looking at him like face on, right? I mean, I guess he could be taller than the terrain, which maybe. Yeah. But if he's not taller than the terrain, then face on, his wings are like 6 inches wingspan. If you tilt him at any angle other than that, a combination of his wings, his tail, and the outcropping of the rock and the tiger makes him longer than range three in any direction.
That's hilarious.
So there's a lot of questions now. Like, is this going to be the thing that makes AMG proxy base stuff? Like,
so you can just plop down between two tall pieces of terrain. He just can't get to you.
Yeah, like literally, if you can sit yourself between the like two apartment buildings that are like range three-ish apart,
top of them.
Sure, but if you're in the exact center, he might not be able to hit you. Or if there's like an extract on the top of that thing, he might not be able to contest it and be, secure. He might not be able to contest it and also be out of line of sight. So, you know, it's interesting, and I'm real concerned actually. But I don't know if this is the place to talk about that.
Well, I feel like that's an easy fix.
Sure, but they have to make it.
Yeah,
because current pre-measuring rules don't allow for proxy bases at all.
Yeah, or you can change how far apart terrain has to be.
That's true. Get wrecked, Magneto. Yeah, so...
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. And, like, my preferred fix, honestly, would be that pre-measuring rules just let you use one proxy base in addition to one movement tool and one range widget. Like, I think that would be fine. And
that would be a huge improvement to the game.
Yeah, I think that would ridiculously help in lots of ways, not just with making Malekith, like, usable. Anyhow, what are we talking about today, Brett?
So we're talking about a phrase that I use a lot but have never defined and have never really thought about deeply. So let's do that now.
Fair enough. And for what it's worth, you're not the only person that uses it. You got it from somebody else, and there's lots of people that use this term.
Yes. So we're going to talk about core characters, or like the core roster, for affiliations. This is something that has a dramatic effect on how good an affiliation is. It dramatically affects list building, and it's not really well understood, and I don't feel like it's defined anywhere.
Not really. It's a community term. And what it basically means is the core of an affiliation is the leader, or a leader, if there's more than one, plus two, usually, other characters, because if you play three characters affiliated, you can play two characters unaffiliated, and most affiliations can play five wide at pretty much any point value up to 20.
Yes. Yeah. Some of them need to have a fourth core character, because they're three core so cheap.
Looking at you, but Guardians of the Galaxy.
Looking at you, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Eight and threat, so, for, you know, your core there.
Okay, so that's the first point we need to bring up, is that the total number of points in your core is a really strong indicator of how good it is. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that because it means that you can play more variety of unaffiliated characters in smaller point values. So what does that mean? It means, look, Guardians of the Galaxy is a great example, like you were saying. Because it has a three-point leader, and a two-point character, a two-point affiliated character that's going to take in pretty much every game, and then usually another three-point character bringing you up to eight, although technically they can do seven, because they have two affiliated two threats. That means that they can either put in a fourth affiliated character and go like seven wide at large point values, which is extremely strong in a lot of scenarios where you want to go last, or like Spider Infected, where you just want to have five people up at all times. Or it can be a place where you can spend a lot of points on one big character, like a Thanos or a Malekith,
yeah.
Oh, you're gonna correct me? I thought we were just gonna do a different.
No, sorry. I was just throwing in that Malekith was another example. I thought you were gonna stop with Thanos.
Oh, yeah. So, and that versatility and the strength of those characters as a baseline is what makes the affiliation so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a couple other pieces to this, right? Like, it's not just this. You could have like a four threat core. This is a stupid example here, but if your characters are bad and your leadership is bad, your affiliation's probably still bad.
So and when we talk about core characters, often these are the two or three characters that you're going to build every team starting with.
Mm-hmm.
Very few rosters actually double affiliate or have an affiliation with two rosters. They feel like with the 10 characters you can like manipulate the team you bring to the table to cover most situations. Mm-hmm. So you're almost always going to bring the same leader, and there's usually going to be one character in the affiliated who's just like either too perfect or too good to just not take with them,
right?
So I'm thinking of things like Angela and A-Force, like just an extremely fast character with flight to move She-Hulk around. I'm thinking about, I was going to say Hood for Captain America, but he's not actually affiliated.
No, he's not. Toad for Black Order, or for Brotherhood.
Yes. Yeah, because Magneto is so expensive, you need to balance that out.
And even if you're going to play Mystique, like Toad is really, really strong.
Exactly. Yeah, stuff like that. And so a really good way to judge the power level of your overall affiliation is to judge the characters you take the most, right? Because mm-hmm. once you get these three characters paid for, you can start taking any character in the game.
Mm-hmm. Which is hugely important, because those other characters are going to let you handle scenario or make attrition easier or give you interesting options that would not be normally available to the particular characters you've got in your core set. And, you know, that's just that amount of flexibility. One, it's really strong. And two, it's one of the things that make building lists in Marvel Crisis Protocol so interesting and one of the main strengths of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if think about it, like, one of the reasons Avengers is so strong is because there's 1,000 affiliated Avengers. And so you can pick the best from them. Mm-hmm. And you can go, Iron Man's just an excellent character. Let's toss him in. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have your three or four core characters out of the way, you can do that with the entire game.
Right. Which is such an absurdly good place to be, because as we already mentioned, there's just a huge strength to having that flexibility. And it means that your roster construction, not just like your squad construction, but your roster construction can be super flexible and bring all kinds of interesting tech pieces and outs that you might not be able to if you're, say, Black Order and you're basically playing a 17 threat core, usually.
16, right? Because they don't like playing at 17 anymore.
Oh, right, because you can't take the Reality Gem and the Space Gem and the Time Gem. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Rip. Anyway.
So let's... Okay, we've been pretty theoretical. Mm-hmm. Let's do some examples. Jaden, okay. name an affiliation.
Bad one.
Dark Dimension. No, don't do Dark Dimension.
Sorry, I can't remember.
Dark Dimension.
What the flip is the one that
character's affiliated?
It's true. What the flip is the one that Blade's the leader of?
Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns. There we go.
That is a good choice. So, Midnight Suns has several good affiliated characters.
Mm-hmm.
Where they fall apart is that their leader is a four threat, and mm-hmm. he has excellent leadership.
He does.
No one's saying that. And he's an okay character. But the problem is his leadership doesn't match with the core of his list. So you can take, and as a four threat with a lot of expensive characters. So he has like affiliated three threats like Moon Knight and
And real fast, the leader is Blade, in case anybody didn't catch that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
it's probably worth mentioning.
Yes, yeah, I'm talking about Blade. So the affiliated three threats, especially Black Widow, not Black Widow, Black Cat, has the they don't match the game plan that Blade wants to do. So Blade is an extremely aggressive character who makes his team more aggressive and is like, I'm going to spend more power to move faster and make more attacks. That is the opposite of what Black Cat wants to do. She wants to never attack. She wants to hoard up her power, steal something, and run away. So you can't really match the three threats to Blade. So you end up with like a 13-point core, because to get characters that match him, you want people who can take advantage of Siege of Darkness. You want Dr. Voodoo. You want Dr. Strange. And those are both extremely expensive characters.
You could maybe make the argument that Blade plus Moon Knight plus Wong is like an okay core, because, you know, Wong's giving out power and healing people. Moon Knight will advance, you know, go in combat a lot. But like, those are, you don't, if he wasn't affiliated, you wouldn't necessarily want to take Wong, because he's a support character. And that's really like, there's better support characters to take.
Yes. And so, yeah, so like, Midnight Suns is a great example of where the core is pulling you in too many directions. You don't have that solid, like, three characters that are cheap and extremely effective and you just want in every situation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's, well, Midnight Suns has a little bit of, that's a problem, but Midnight Suns also has the, and this is, I'm going to digress a little bit from our main point here. Midnight Suns also has the advantage of having characters like Black Cat and Dr. Voodoo in affiliation. Which, since those are characters that a lot of other teams splash for, sometimes that's okay.
Yes, yeah. Midnight Suns is a little bit of a strange affiliation just because they have a ton of overlap with other affiliations. Like, it just feels like all of their characters are in a ton of affiliations. So it's like, why are you taking Blade?
Yeah, I mean, the only one that's only in two is Ghost Rider, and he's in Defenders of Midnight Suns, but everybody else, including Blade, is in at least three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me started in Defenders.
Yeah. So, but here's the really interesting thing that I'm just gonna throw this out there. If Midnight Suns got a release with a reasonably good combat two threat and then like literally nothing else, would that be enough to change your opinion on their like their core team? Like, if they got a two threat that was basically Nebula, how would that change it in your opinion?
And I think that brings us to the point of how important affiliated two threats are. I think that would actually change a lot, right? Because then you would have a core of Blade, Moon Knight, and this theoretical two threat,
or Blade, Iron Fist, and this theoretical two threat, either one
who are very combat oriented, generate a bunch of power, and like synergize together, and so it weakens Siege of Darkness a little bit, which is kind of the core of the faction. But now you're at a 9-point core, so you can start building lists from there, and you still have good affiliated characters to add in.
Like, right? Yeah. Like, if you want to play 14, you can still just take Strange, right? Yeah. And that's great. Or you can do things like, if you're playing 14 and you want to go really wide, well, now you can take like Black Widow and some random combat three threat like Valkyrie or something.
It dramatically changes what you can do, especially at small points, to have that the flexibility of an affiliated too, because you're not stuck in this, you know, 11 points, 10 points base.
Which is interesting, because when I started playing the game, it was pretty common for your core to be like 10 or 11 points. And I feel like the breakout affiliations all are cheaper than that now, for the most part.
That is starting to go the other direction.
With things like Malekith coming out?
I was going to say even S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. has Black Widow, but I would consider it to have a 10-point core with the 4-point leader and 2-3 threats, because they're just that strong.
Right.
So, but the other thing, but, and so what you're really thinking of are Guardians of the Galaxy and Sam Avengers, which I think were newish when you stopped. So those affiliations have three threat leaders, which a three threat leader is just really strong. Like,
yes.
Like even when Star-Lord's leadership wasn't good, just having a three threat leader was pretty strong.
Right, because it like it's not just like a goal of building a list, because you know leaders also give you access to a leadership even if the leadership is bad, and they also give you access to affiliated tactics cards. I mean, you can do that even without the leader, but why would you? Yes. Usually,
yeah. And so having a decent having a good leader, and especially a cheap good leader, which both of them now have, is really dramatic to what it does to your core, because now, and both of them also have cheap characters in it, so they end up being really wide, they end up being really flexible, and they end up at a high power level because they can splash characters safely, because they have a deep roster of characters they want to take now. Because
you can do stupid things like play Thanos plus three affiliateds in Guardians at 15.
Yep. It's better at 16, but yes, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's better. Of course it's better at 16, but like how many teams can actually handle four characters, one of which is Thanos, moving things around on like gamma shelters?
They don't love it, no.
No, it sounds like a monster and a nightmare to play into.
Yes. So, well, Guardians of the Galaxy is my nemesis, so.
Mine too, actually. Fun anecdote time. So my wife has played like five or six games of Marvel Crisis Protocol with me. And the condition upon which she played them was that I paint her Guardians up so that she had a painted team of characters that she liked to play. I have not won a game against her. And none of them have been particularly close. So this is coming up on close to 2 years since the first time we played, and I've just gotten destroyed by Guardians every single time I played into my wife.
Yeah. So, and I think Guardians is a great example of affiliation where all of their stuff has a clear plan and the plan works together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just supported by their core being so synergistic. Like Rocket and Star-Lord want to do the same things.
Pew pew.
Leadership is so flexible. Exactly. And then Groot's like, I know exactly what I want to do. I'm going to
heal everybody.
Heal, move stuff around, and keep Rocket shooting.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you put stuff in from there that you either like or works well in the scenario, and you're just so wide open at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. That amount of flexibility is super duper powerful. So do we want to talk about, so we've talked a little bit about cores. Do we want to talk about some really common characters that cores often want to reach for, and maybe like go through a few affiliations that are different than that as well?
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about what characters you're excited to see in your affiliation because you want to put them in your core.
Sure. So Dr. Voodoo is a good one, I think.
Dr. Voodoo is an excellent one. And he breaks the rule I was about to make, is that you just don't look at anyone four threat or higher.
Yeah, well, he is good enough that you make exceptions for that.
And for example, there's an argument to be made that he belongs in the Sam core, because you can take him, Sam, and then a three threat, and you're at 10. 10 is a perfectly fine core number. And like Iron Man and Voodoo are just such strong characters just to have in every situation.
Right. Yeah, so I think definitely Voodoo is one that you're excited about. I think Black Cat probably is another one that's just like
So you'll note that.
Go ahead, sorry.
You'll note that these are characters who have an extremely strong scenario presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Voodoo also does, well, he just does everything, right? He's fast, he gains a lot of power, he does a lot of damage. Cat is specifically good at, she's fast and can steal stuff and then run away. So
right.
That's just in any extract that's alive, she's very useful.
Yeah. I think another one lately is probably Juggernaut.
Yes, Juggernaut's... So I think what's funny about Juggernaut is that one of the core lists he makes, he's not affiliated in.
Oh, really?
I would argue he's core to Kingpin.
Oh. Sure. So you play Kingpin, two cheap things, and then Juggernaut, and that's your core?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I actually don't find Juggernaut to be a core in Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. I find him to be a little situational.
Right.
Because he is such a huge point sink, and you already have Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's good, he's excellent. Like, if it's a flip secure, or if you need someone to go, like, grab the center point and then bring in Magneto to whatever tries to kill him, he's excellent. But there are times where you just want to do Quicksilver and Toad and Mystique instead.
Right. Which is totally fine. But he is a character that a lot of affiliations are going to splash for, so.
Correct.
I think Hulk is one that people are excited to splash now, and you're pretty happy if he's in your affiliation.
Well, and I think this is, like, okay, so Juggernaut and Hulk are great examples of why having a cheap core is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because for these five or six threat characters, you don't care if they're affiliated. You already have your core set up, and they're powerful enough that you know the reason to take them, and them being affiliated or not doesn't really play into the situation.
Right.
When I'm talking about characters that I'm excited to be affiliated to be in my core, I'm thinking of Iron Man. I'm thinking of Winter Soldier, which is funny because he's affiliated everywhere.
at least at roster construction.
Right. Or if he's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I think Iron Man's really the big one that stands out because he's in two affiliations, and he's just so strong when in so many different situations. And so having that cheap, effective three threat who does energy instead of physical, who has long range attacks, who can push people around and does a lot of damage, like, that's just like, oh yeah, I want that in my core.
Right.
Kind of Rocket, right?
Yeah. Minus the durable and push people around part.
Rocket's more durable than you think.
Oh, I mean, as long as he's standing next to Groot, but yes.
He's still got cover and immunity to the collisions.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the immunity to collisions. Because isn't that new?
That is new.
Okay. Okay, I thought so.
As of the update a year ago.
Yep. Oh, it wasn't a year ago, was it?
It wasn't a year ago. You're right.
It was like 8 months ago.
Yeah. And we talked about this before, but with the exception of Wong, I'm always excited to see a two-threat affiliated.
Fair.
Because even the bad two-threats, like Widow,
mm-hmm.
just being able to manipulate your points down is really, really important.
Right, because if you need to bring in a really expensive unaffiliated like Hulk, then you can. But if you don't, then you can also just swap them out for something that's more expensive by like a threat or two, and like way more effective on whatever it is you need them for.
Yes. Well, and you really hit the nail on the head there, is that it gives you the flexibility to go wide to play a bunch of characters, or to go tall and play one big expensive character you need for a certain reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really interesting too, because like if you look at them in a vacuum, they're not, a lot of the two threats are not particularly like exciting. But if you start to ask yourself the question, like, would I like this two threat and a Hulk, or would I like a three threat and not the Hulk? Right. Like, that's kind of a really interesting way to examine that, because it's not immediately apparent that that's what that means when you're looking at it from a construction perspective.
Yes. Well, and if you notice having a two threat character on the board, having those two activations, even if all they do is like grab an extract once or stand mm-hmm. on a secure, very often having a independent two threat character is better than whatever upgrading a 3 point character to a 5 point character would do.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, if your opponent goes out of the way to put the resources into them, then the expensive model that you brought along isn't the one getting killed. And if they don't, then they're helping you win the game, which is also good.
And just having more activations is usually a good thing in alternating activation games. It's mm-hmm. a little bit weaker here because of the priority system, but
which is a good thing. That's good game design right there. Yeah. Okay. So should we go through a couple of like really important core affiliations that people should just be aware of because they're going to be popular and sure. maybe so, talk about what they let them bring that they wouldn't otherwise.
Sure. So yeah, I'm trying to list all of these kind of cores in my article series.
Mm-hmm. Which you should check out on our website, which is lineofsightwargaming.com. They're under the Marvel Crisis Protocol Tactics tab.
Yes. And these are all just like my opinion, man.
Yep. Okay. So, five affiliations that you think are the most important to know the cores of, because they're going to be interesting, unexpected, powerful, popular. Your choice.
All right. Well, so the first one's Criminal Syndicate.
Okay. Which version?
Both of them. I think both of them, like both of those should be in the five we talk about.
Okay. All right. I'm excited because I know very little about Criminal Syndicate, so this is good for me.
So they play drastically differently. Mm-hmm. So the Kingpin leadership of Criminal Syndicate wants to play big, resilient characters who make zero attacks over the course of the game and just throw or push people off using superpowers, people off secures using superpowers.
Okay.
So I would ironically consider, like I said, Juggernaut and Lizard to be core characters for Kingpin, even though they're not affiliated. So the way you make that happen is by taking Hood and Bullseye. So Hood is just an excellent character in general. He has a heal. He's decently resilient. He can kind of hop around when he takes damage. Just an excellent character. Bullseye is just a two threat. And honestly, that's enough.
Right. And he's reasonably like killy for a two threat, which is
correct.
Interesting.
He's also hard to pin down because if you don't kill him, he can walk away, mm-hmm. which can be very valuable for scenario play.
Right.
So on the other hand, Shadowlands Daredevil is extremely offensive. So his core is basically any character that has rapid fire on their card.
Okay. Which
conveniently includes Hood and Bullseye.
Yes.
So, but then for unaffiliated stuff, I would also consider Winter Soldier and X-23 core with him.
Winter Soldier can count as core, right?
Oh yeah.
Or count as affiliated.
He doesn't help you with All According to Plan, their tactics card that lets you steal priority. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have three affiliated characters other than him, then it should be okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what this does, so the Daredevil team is looking to overwhelm you with a ridiculous number of attacks that will eventually spike, right?
Yes, because they get an offensive reroll on every single attack they make, so you just want to get as many of those bonuses as possible.
Right. And so, and it's interesting because that they play the same core. And is that primarily because it's cheap still? Like, is that the entire reason? Or is it because, I guess you mentioned that, like, Hood is probably, like, the linchpin of this affiliation, isn't he? Because if he didn't have a heal, Kingpin wouldn't be nearly so strong. And if he didn't have a rapid fire, he's got mystical pistols, right?
Yeah, because Juggernaut, or because Kingpin wants to take a bunch of resilient characters. Mm-hmm. Resilient characters love being healed.
Right. And if he didn't have rapid fire, they're mystical pistols, right?
Yeah.
If he didn't have rapid fire, mystical pistols, yeah. A defense that not everybody has good stats in. If he didn't have mystical pistols with rapid fire, Daredevil wouldn't want him either, because Daredevil cares a lot less about the heal.
Yes, he'll take it, but...
Right, I mean, everybody will take it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. What's another one that we should discuss?
I think Web Warriors is a really important one to know.
Okay.
So when I've been playing them, my core has been 17 points. It's just, I feel like I only play them when it's a 17, when it's like Spider Infected and Infinity Formula, like some of the core box stuff.
Okay.
And so I end up taking the core I'm going to talk about in a second, and then Fury and Voodoo, just because they're so good at extracts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Web Warrior core is really cool because it's Miles Morales, who is, again, an excellent three-threat leader with a great leadership, who is very mobile, can actually do some damage, can steal objectives, just everything you want.
Right.
Then the other affiliated three-threats are Black Cat and Ghost Spider, who have either a way to steal extracts or a way to move characters around and also stack up that defensive abilities. So in addition to Miles's leadership, giving you a defensive reroll,
the pull you to safety thing.
Yeah. The card's called Escort to Safety. Hers is called something else. But the idea is now you have, like, if an attack, you have to be able to, you know, have a way to catch up to someone after they get pulled out of your attack.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that costs one attack, which usually keeps people alive. Black Cat has stealth, which Miles also has stealth, so now their, you know, range attacks aren't as good against them. She also stops you from rerolling against her, which is often very relevant.
Yeah, it's because there's a bunch of, like, affiliation cards and characters that are rerolling a lot. Like, we just talked about Daredevil.
Yep.
He can't use his shtick there. You can't use Recalibration Matrix against Black Cat in any meaningful way, which is a very
you can, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, you sure can. And that's very, very good.
Yes. So you end up with this core that can almost handle scenario on itself, protects each other, and actually does a lot more damage than you think.
Yeah. So, the first time I parked something next to Gwen, I was like, it's just Gwen. And then proceeded to get it knocked out because,
Because she has, I think it's 3 power to do her freestyle beatdown, her spender, which is a 6 die attack that automatically throws you. And then she follows up with a 7 die attack or maybe an 8.
It's 7, yeah. With spider technique.
It's like, yeah. It's like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. I thought you were a defensive character. Because, yeah, she's going to spend most of the game just pushing people around, pulling people off points, and then, she's just going to walk up and kill someone.
Yeah, and it will not be... And especially if it's, like, all webbed up turn?
Yes. I have found that if you want to play all webbed up, you should replace Black Cat with Moon Knight.
Because that makes sense.
He's a web warrior who has rapid fire, so he makes a lot of attacks to take advantage of the all webbed up bonus.
Right. And he's not, like, terrible just to have in the roster anyway, so that's not
another stealth character.
He's another stealth character, yeah. He can just have, like, all the stealthy people.
Yeah. Well, and the great thing about Moon Knight is that, unlike the rest of the Web Warriors, he actually has more power than he needs, so you can flip secures with him. That's basically his best aspect in that affiliation.
Well, and that cannot be understated because the rest of the affiliation is so bad at it. Right? Like, if a
Web Warrior other than Moon Knight is poisoned, it's essentially the end of the game. Like, they hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, like, having him in the roster, like, both as a, I'm going to be offensive, and also, oh, we're playing Deadly Meteors because the Asgard player rolled up, you know, that's a pretty important tool.
Yes, and just, they're so weak to flip secures in general, having more tools to deal with it, because that's what people are going to try and force onto you.
Yes, or at least they should. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got probably 2 more to cover.
What do you think? I want to talk about the Black Order core because I think it's very funny.
Okay.
So the Black Order core is 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thanos with 2 gems. It's Corvus Glaive with the reality gem. And it's Proxima Midnight. So that you have extremely short number of activations. And you make it even shorter by using husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos brings in treats for Corvus to murder. The Death's Decree makes him murder things real good.
And, yeah, it does.
And then you just keep doing that until everything's dead.
Well, and it doesn't take, like, this is obviously not quite as good as when I was playing it beforehand because the time stone is no longer the absolute ridiculous thing that it was. But you can still pretty reliably daze somebody turn one and then daze and knock out somebody on turn two. And yes, by that point, with the catch-up point from the leadership, you're probably just fine. And your characters are probably still pretty healthy because they all have inbuilt damage reduction and are operating in this little tiny triangle on one side of the table while the opponent's list gets reeled in like a bunch of fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you want to, you just need to be careful that you don't get like 6 points behind.
Yeah, that's part of, that's kind of the danger zone.
And so the reason I wanted to bring up this core is that because they're so locked into those 16 points, or at least the 13 points of Thanos and Corvus,
mm-hmm,
it makes it really difficult for them to play on 17 or 19 threat.
Yeah. Although, wait, do some of the new... Yeah, I was going to say 19, but you can just put it 2 threat, right? Or a 3 threat, sorry.
Yeah, 3 threat. Yeah. Okay. Well, 17 is really horrible because they have to drop Proxima and either run 2/2s or a 4, mm-hmm, and you just lose out on that synergy.
Yeah, which they do not like at all. But yeah, and so the other characters that they're going to play a lot of outside of the affiliation are Black Swan and Supergiant making a splash in affiliation?
Not Supergiant.
Okay, so Black Swan maybe.
Black Swan's really cool, and she actually is a good place for the Power Stone, which is mm-hmm rare.
Very nice.
And she fits in the move around, throw stuff around, do a bunch of damage. She has an energy attack, which is nice.
That is nice.
And she has some dice fixing.
Yeah. You're going to see Zemo a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like at 19
threat.
Bodyguards like Okoye.
Or Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
Just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Honey Badger, if you're really not worried about scenario. Because she's both too dangerous to ignore and she lowers their defense.
Yep.
Which
seems good. I don't know if this is still a thing, but back just before the update, I was experimenting pretty heavily with Domino in there. And that was real interesting. So, you know, thoughts for that there. Okay. So
I think we've talked. Okay, who's in the... Oh, I think we should talk about Wakanda's core.
Okay. And is there anything else after this, or is this going to be the last one? This is 5.
You said 5, right?
Yep, this is the 5th.
Yeah. Well, so we've talked about S.H.I.E.L.D., we've talked about Dark Dimension, like, and, mm-hmm, like, yeah, the stuff I play, I'll keep talking about cores, but let's, yeah, Wakanda I don't often play, but they're a strong affiliation. So the reason their core is cool is funny because there's only, like, 6 affiliated characters, and so you just take the 3 best ones and call them your core. So the Black Panther, the leader, he's 4 threat and he's one of the best 4 threats still.
Yeah, even after a pretty substantial nerf.
Yeah. You call it a nerf. I call it making the rules function in a way that's not nonsense.
They can be the same thing, Brett.
That's true. It can be 2 things.
Yeah.
And then Shuri is just really synergistic with him. They both have automatic pushes. They both have tons of rerolls. She has long range. He has great defenses. Mm-hmm. And then you follow it up with an affiliated 2 threat, and it's like it's just such a perfect core. It all works together. It all like she is the defensive glue that keeps it together by bodyguarding the weaker characters and just having great stats personally.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me that this affiliation has virtually been unchanged since, like, very early in the game and is yet still one of the top affiliations out there.
9-point affiliated core.
It's very, very strong. Yeah, and they're going to bring things like Hulk at 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, yeah, Hulk, we're gonna play Gamma. Hulkbuster
is also insane.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Like, Gammas with Hulkbuster sounds absolutely monstrous. Mm-hmm.
More auto pushes that don't care about size this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because Shuri's due now, right?
Yes. And so does Black Panthers.
Yeah. So, seems very, very good.
All right. So, hopefully, we have explained some of what we mean when we talk about core characters, what it is to be a good one, and why you should be looking for these cheap affiliated characters that you'd want to take anyways.
Yep. Absolutely. Alrighty. Well, with that, we would like to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon, because you guys are fantastic. And if you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/LOS. Wait, no, it's not. patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. It helps pay for the authors that supply us with daily content every day on our website. It helps us run the podcast and keep our websites up, because we have several of those now. And and it's just, you know, nice tip jar. So if you want to be part of that, you can also get some sweet things like awesome colored names on our Discord server, access to a special patrons only channel in the Discord server. And if you go higher up the tiers, you can suggest topics for podcasts, you can vote on topics for podcasts, you can tell us what to talk about on a podcast if you go absolutely nuts. So patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming, check that out. You can find our Facebook page, which is Line of Sight. It's just a podcast page. It's on Facebook. Our Discord is linked in the show notes of the podcast, or at least it should be. And if it's not, I'm going to go double check and make sure that they all are. The other thing about that is our Discord is where you can chat about all kinds of games, Conquest, Privateer Press games, Games Workshop games, and, you know, of course, Marvel Crisis Protocol. And it's a good place to come chat about that. You can email us admin@lineofsightwargaming.com or any of our first names @lineofsightwargaming.com if you want to talk to us about something specific. If you've got articles or other content you want to submit, click on the submit an article link and then follow the instructions, and we'll post your content pretty quickly after you post it to us. So with that in mind, hopefully this was enjoyable and informative, and we will see you all next week. Bye.